Frontier. SciPod. It's not just a podcast, it's a peak experience.
Across much of the developed world, birth rates are falling and people are beginning to notice. This is especially true in Europe, where lately newspapers have been warning of an impending population crisis. Some have suggested the baby gap will lead to a forced increase in the retirement age, bankrupt pension funds, and even economic collapse. In some countries, including France and Singapore, there are significant tax incentives to persuade families to have more children. And earlier this year, in the UK, the Institute for Public Policy published a report highlighting the population problem. But Paul and Anne Ehrlich are saying, wait a minute, these reports have got it all wrong. From their home base at Stanford University, the Ehrlichs, husband and wife, have been studying global population for the better part of four decades. In fact, an article Paul Ehrlich wrote for New Scientist back in 1967 became the basis for his best-selling and controversial book, The Population Bomb. This week, the Ehrlichs are once again in the pages of New Scientist, co-authoring an essay that provides some much-needed perspective on recent trends in population. To find out more, we spoke with Anne Ehrlich.
Hello, Dr. Ehrlich. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
There seems to be an awful lot of concern at the moment, especially in Europe, about the declining birth rate. And do you think that that's a real worry?
I don't. It's something to celebrate, as a matter of fact. If anything, the world population is overshooting the ability of this planet to support us. And that Europe has gone first in reducing its birth rate is actually a very nice thing to celebrate.
But there is, of course, the economic argument that if the birth rate is falling, we end up with an aging population and, you know, not enough children to support their parent. You know, how will that add up in the coming decades?
Well, it's really a reversal of what's called by demographers the dependency rate. The dependent parts of the population are the people under the age of 15 and over the age of 65. That's an arbitrary decision. It could well be 75, in my opinion. In any case, 40 years ago, we had a very high dependency rate again because we had so many children that our society had to support. And children are completely dependent. They have to be taken care of. They have to be schooled and educated, and older people do not require those things.
So would you say it's better to have more older people than lots and lots of young people, because economically it sort of adds up better to be looking after old people than young?
Yeah. I don't think it's economically any worse for a society to support older people than to support a lot of younger people, and in an overpopulated world, we're much better off supporting the older people. We need to shrink all of our populations. Europe is leading the way on that, but the rest of the world is still growing, including the United States, I'm afraid.
So if we sort of accept this idea, which I think most people do, that the population of the world is growing and growing and it has to stop at some point, it can't keep growing forever, how do you go about deciding how many is enough, how many people the world should have? Now, that's something that you've considered in your work. So how did you go about that?
You take some account of the world's natural productivity and whether it can be maintained indefinitely. One assumes that we don't want a huge population for a short time. It would be much better to have a smaller population going on indefinitely. It's very clear that we are outstripping the Earth's ability to support us now, and we're likely to have another 2.5 billion people before growth even approaches stopping worldwide.
So it's a case of looking at sort of what we need to sustain us and how many people there are.
Obviously, we can support a great many more people who were simply subsistence farmers than we can people living at the high level that we do in Europe and North America these days.
So when you did all this research, did you come up with an answer for what the ideal population for Earth might be?
Yeah, we did an analysis 15 years ago or so and came up with a number around 2 billion.
Which, obviously, that's far fewer people than we have on the planet now, and a heck of a lot fewer than we're going to have in 50 years' time. So how do you think we go about persuading the world that this is a good idea?
Well, when resources run out, when we have trouble maintaining food supplies for all the people, I think it'll be pretty clear.
So what would a world of 2 billion people be like?
Well, it's not too hard to figure out. That's about what we had back in 1950.
But that was a very different situation, because then the population was on the rise, whereas if we went back to it now, the population would be dropping down. So could you sort of give us an idea of what that world of 2 billion people would look like?
Well, the population structure obviously would be quite different. There would be fewer children and many more older people, and the population would, instead of growing, would be either stationary or shrinking. In that sense, it would be quite different, and we would not be grabbing resources at the same level in order to build for a future of a larger population as we had to do in 1950.
And so let's look at the alternative to that. So if we do nothing, and if things continue as they are now, and the population continues to grow, how will the rest of this century pan out? You know, what will happen to the world?
We're going to be poorer, we're going to be more crowded, we're going to look forward to more conflicts, especially over resources. It's very clear that we're going to reach a peak in oil production sometime very soon, if we haven't already. And that is going to spell a lot of problems for both developed and developing countries that are trying to increase their resource consumption for growing populations. So the outlook is not altogether charming. We're already in trouble over resources, and it's going to get worse.
So it's quite a, it sounds like something either is going to have to change, or, as you say, we may just run up against this wall anyway, and it will be forced upon us.
Well, it isn't that nothing is being done to curb population growth. That's absolutely not true. There are very active family planning programs in developing countries. Some are more successful than others, but a good many of the developing countries already have significantly slowed population growth. Many of them are down at the level as the developed countries, pretty much, in terms of their birth rates. It's just that they have still a lot of momentum built into their populations. China's a good example of that.
So there are obviously policy measures in place to tackle this problem, but what about the science? What's actually being done now, what research-wise, into populations?
I would assume that there's still a great deal of social science research going on into what motivates people to have smaller families. That has been the main focus for the last 30, 40 years. And they've learned a great deal in that time, and to a large extent, but perhaps not completely, implemented it with some success, as witness the Chinese solution, although there are a great many people who disapprove of China because it resorted to rather draconian means to get the birth rate down. But they did succeed, and they had very good reasons for becoming draconian.
Okay, well, thank